This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
The Lord has given me a word today to share with you. And the word today is to take hold of my covenant. Thus saith the Lord. And we'll look at Isaiah 56, verses 3 to 7. Isaiah 56, and I want to read to you verse 3 to 7. I'll take from number 2. How blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, and choose what pleases me, and hold fast my covenant, and hold fast my covenant. And again I say, and hold fast my covenant. To them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servant, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath, and hold fast my covenant. Praise the Lord. Well, in those verses we've just read, you can see the great importance God places on the keeping of his covenant and the great reward that you shall reap if you keep his covenant. It's all very well to know, but you have to do. And Luke 13, verse 10 to 16, I want to read to you. Luke 13, 10 to 16. And it says, and as he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who was for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your sickness. And as he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. And the synagogue officials, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the multitude in response, there are 6 days in which to work, in which work should be done. Therefore come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Wouldn't it be much better to come on the Sabbath day? In my eyes it would be. But the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath day untie the ox and his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? And the key word, the key verse in this statement, in this scripture, is the statement, this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? Would you agree with that? I would. I would be yelling and screaming and saying, praise God, not trying to put it down like what the synagogue official did. And so this woman who is a descendant of Abraham, God made a covenant with Abraham and all his descendants to bless them. And the Amplified Bible read in Galatians 3:29, and if you belong to Christ, are in him, who is Abraham's seed, then you are Abraham's offspring and spiritual heirs according to promise. And I'll read that again. And if you belong to Christ, are in him who is Abraham's seed, then you are Abraham's offspring and spiritual heirs according to promise. You, me, all of us, we are heirs to all the promises made by God to Abraham. So the promise was made by God under the old covenant, but it still flows to us today. Even today, through today, we have a new, even though today we have a new and better covenant through Jesus Christ, but we still get all the benefits from the old covenant coming down into the new covenant. Praise God. Does that make sense to you? You are heirs to the promises made by God to Abraham. My goodness, me and the Lord made a lot of promises to Abraham. So, you know, and we are the beneficiaries of it today. Now we must lay hold of this new covenant. The Lord gave us as a written contract the New Testament, the Bible. The Old Testament was laid aside, but now we have a new covenant. And, you know, it would be very wise for us to read it, to study it, to absorb it on a regular basis, and then adhere to it. And I know that the life we live in this day and age, it is go, 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 go. You know, but it is so important to find time to sit and to quietly meditate on the Word of God. Because if you don't, then it slowly but surely it ebbs away out of your system, let me say it this way. And all of a sudden you find yourself in a very dry place. But if you keep topping up every so often, you know, just take time. And I know myself, and I'm speaking to myself also, because this week I've worked from early in the morning till all the way through until it was pitch black dark. Well, I know when you do that for a whole week, then in the end you don't feel like picking up your Bible. You're that tired out, you don't even want to speak to anybody. So it is important to find time to pull aside with God and to top up what you lose during the week. Praise God. In Isaiah Isaiah chapter 56, we did read that the Lord exhorts us to take hold of his covenant. Now, to take hold means to take hold, doesn't it? Like you take hold of it, you hang on to it, you won't let it go. And the lady who was healed came to understand that her covenant stated that healing was legally hers, and by faith she received it. Hallelujah. We have a new covenant, and the covenant is full of the promises of the Lord to us in this day and age. And, you know, so many times people say, oh, you know, but healing, oh, well, you know, it was prayed for, but nothing happened. Well, when you prayed for, the elders or whoever lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, then the word of the Lord has been come into your life, and you need to lay hold of it. You need to lay hold of it. Under the new covenant, we have been committed to reconcile people to God, sharing the good news. And I want to read to you Mark 16:15-18. Mark 16:15-18. Goes better if you look in the right chapter, doesn't it? Praise Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Mark 16:15-18. And it says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and they will drink any deadly poison. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. It says so very clearly. It states in the new thing, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. But, you know, you need to lay hold of it. You need to hang on to it. You don't want to let it go. Because if you walk away and said, oh, well, nothing happened, well, nothing will happen. Because where is your faith? Where is your hanging on faith? And that's what you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Matthew 28, I would like to read that as well to you. Here it is. Matthew 28. 18 to 20. Excuse my voice. 18 to 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them. Well, I'll read from 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go therefore and make disciples. The word go means to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, under the new covenant, we have been commissioned to go and to reconcile people to God, sharing the good news. The Lord has given each and every one of us a permanent commission to go. And he also has promised that he will be with us at all the way. He will be with us even to the ends of the earth. So, you know, we just have to take the step to go. To go. When the Lord calls us, we said, well, you know, if you feel you're called out, then go. Then go. Don't hesitate. Because if you start hesitating, you start doubting. And when you start doubting, you lose all the faith that you have. You know? When the Lord, and you know that you know that you know that the Lord calls you, go. Go. He might just say, go and witness to that person over there. Well, go. Praise God. Now, often a lot of witnessing is unproductive because of wrong presentation. The principle of success in witnessing is to plant a seed of God's word. Our job is to sow, not necessarily to lead them, or I've written between brackets, or badger them. And some people have a habit of badgering a certain person, like, you know, and keep badgering and badgering and badgering. Well, that's not going to win anybody to Christ. That's rather pushing them away. Hallelujah. So I'll read that again. The success in witnessing is to plant a seed of God's word. And our job is to sow, not necessarily to lead them into a prayer of reconciliation, because even the Bible tells us, some are sowers, some are reapers. In God's time, it is the Holy Spirit who convicts people, brings conviction to people. We don't have to try to ram it down their throat. That is the Holy Spirit's job. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55:11. And that verse tells us that so shall my word be which go. So shall my word be which go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I send it. And for you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we are the Lord's mouthpiece. The church of God is the mouthpiece of God. And the word that we speak, given by the Lord, shall not return to him void. And I believe that the church as a whole, and that includes you and me, has to raise up our expectancy of the power of God's word. Because when you look at it, God's word, the power of God's word upholds the whole of the universe. Right? So how much more will he, with his power, we need in our churches, in our daily lives, in the people we share it with? We need the power of God. And, you know, the power of God is so powerful that we need to hang on to it. We need to with two hands, hang on to that. Because if we let go, there's only one way, and that is down. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you know, sometimes it's very difficult. And I know we get into situations where we get shaken, we get sort of bombarded by the enemy. But then we need to have the word of God to come against the enemy, which is so much more powerful than anything the enemy can throw at us at any time. At any time. Doesn't matter whether we are sick or what comes against us. The word of God is more powerful than any other word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you are a winner if you understand that your job is to plant the word of God. Huh? If you understand what you be called to do, then it makes life a lot easier. But if we fail to realize or understand our job, then we fail. Then we fail. We need to understand that God has called us. We are his mouthpiece. He's called us to go and share the word with him. And so that's what we need to do. Now, I'm going to read Matthew 24:3-14, which is rather a lengthy sort of a piece of scripture. But I want to show you what happens. 3:14, Matthew 24:3-14 tells us. Matthew 24:3-14, and it says, and as he was sitting, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will those things be, and what will be the sign of your coming, and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one mislead you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And at that time, many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. And the reason I wanted to read this out to you is to show you what times we're in, what we're faced with, what comes against us. And therefore, it sort of shows us clearly why we should be willing to go. Because when you look at the state of the world, we should be happy and ready and willing to go. Because if you read this portion of Scripture, then you can see that Satan's messengers are certainly willing to go. They are on the job. But where are the Christians half the time? Are we on the job? Are we willing to go and you know, bring God's word to people all over the world? A lot of people do, a lot of people don't. But it is so often that lack of confidence hold many people back from witnessing. And I don't know, I've had times myself that I've sort of felt the Lord say, well, you know, there have been situations where I felt I should have gone and talked to a person, but I haven't. And then, you know, because you just didn't feel confident enough. You didn't feel to go, or you were frightened to go, let me put it this way. But the answer to this is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, but in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." Hallelujah. Power shall come upon you and you will be able to do so. Even your own strength you can't, but you can in the strength of the Holy Spirit. You can go forth and witness at any time, knowing that he is with you and he won't leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to leave you dangling. He'll be there with you because he doesn't want to see anybody go to hell either. He wants people to come to him. And so that's where we are. And also in 2 Corinthians 3, 5 to 6, 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians 3 to 5. Okay, this is Paul talking about himself in a sense, but it brings out what I want to share. And such is the confidence we have through Christ. That's verse 4. And such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not us of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You have been made able ministers. That's what it tells you here, that you have been made able ministers of the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Start having a renewed confidence in the power of the Word. Romans 10:9-10. If you read that, you know what the power of God will do. It will lead to people getting saved. And, you know, that is the power of God. God's power saves. Hallelujah. It lifts people up. It brings... hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You know, we need to believe in the unchanging word of God. God's word doesn't change. We change, our thoughts change, the world around us change, which I think we're all pretty well aware of in this day and age, that everything changes. But the word of God stands firm. It doesn't change. So you can always go. If you're not sure, you can always go back to the Word of God and see that's what it says. And that's when you can stand strong and you won't be, you know, because the storms, as we heard today, the storms will come. And the storms come sometimes very mightily heavy against you and you feel buffeted and you're not 100% sure. But when you go back to the beginning, God says, and that is your thing. How many missionaries must be out there on the field? And they're out there and they go for years on end and see very little profit from all the sowing that they have done. You know, but they can go back to the scriptures that says, go ye in all the world, and I'll be with you. So where they are, no matter whether they see results at this present moment in time, and I think of Brendan especially at this time, where Brendan is there sowing. He may never reap. Other people may come in after him and reap the benefits, but you have to have a sower and you have to have a reaper. And so, you know, it is, but the word of God is unchanging, and the word says, go. And I don't know, from speaking from personal experience, it sometimes takes a lot of effort and faith to step out and go. But the moment you do, it's amazing how things open up for you. Then you feel and you know that the Lord is with you every step of the way. Every step of the way. Because he will never ask you to do something that he hasn't got you prepared for beforehand. Hallelujah. I was just hearing that at Josie's place the other night. That, like, you know, when you're... the word says that when you're first born again, you're a baby. Right? Now, when we get a baby, we don't straight away give him the reins to our business, do we? We sort of slowly, surely, we lead him to a point where we can hand over to him. And that's the same. Like, you know, the question there was, they have a bit confusion about what would you do if the Lord asked you to sell your house and go. Well, if you know that you know that you know that you know that you know, it is the word of the Lord to you, and you've got that knowledge, you've got that know. The thing to do, you sell, you go. And it's amazing the things that come out from all of that, but you need to know. You don't step out as a baby, and baby Christian, and sort of start up here. You start up there, and the Lord, but step by step by step, he leads you. Hallelujah. To get to the stage where you can do that sort of thing. Okay, now what I want to really come to is to share the good news. I know, Iris, and she's going, yeah. We need to share good news. We don't need to preach their sins. Every sinner knows they are a sinner. I don't know about anybody else, but I knew before I was born again, I knew that I was a sinner. Nobody had to tell me. I was well aware of it. I couldn't do much about it, or maybe didn't want to do anything about it, but I knew that I was a sinner. So don't preach their sins. Tell them that Jesus loved them. Tell them that Jesus died for them on the cross of Calvary. Tell them that he shed his precious blood to save them. Preach good news. Preach Jesus. Give your testimony, for you're saved, you're changed. So therefore, anyone can be saved. True? And I'll use myself as an example. That, you know, when I look back before I was saved, it was only the Lord that could change all that. It was only his power. Because even the night that I got saved, I was sitting in a home meeting, and I had never been to one before, and I thought I'll never go again. But I'm sitting there, and I had my arms tightly folded, like so, and I wasn't participating, and I wasn't going to do anything, and I was sitting there, and that was great. Now, there was a circle of people, and the pastor was standing in the middle, and he is, sort of preaching a little bit. And all of a sudden, out of the circle, comes a voice that says, "Pastor, the Lord has just told me that there's somebody here tonight on which he wants to bestow a lot of grace." Now, I'm sitting there like that, and when the word came, my whole inside exploded.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.